Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 125. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchist news. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. What's new this week? Announcing Fifth Estate, number 404, summer 2019. This issue of Fifth Estate, themed Reenchantment of the World, demonstrates some of the breadth of this magazine, with a plethora of authors and perspectives from well-known names like Jesus Sepulveda, Peter Lamborn Wilson, and Ron Sikalski, to lesser-known, from ex-political prisoners to pro-vegan wildness spokespeople. Something for everyone, apparently. Summer reading.
14th Annual Victoria Anarchist Book Fair Call for Participation, from IGD. Quote, the book fair welcomes participants who seek to embody anarchist ideals, subvert the spectacle, and facilitate safe and healthy dialogues in our beautiful neighborhood. This is an invitation to open, radical, inclusive, and anti-oppressive spaces, unquote. This announcement has various links to other pages with more information. I found none that had a safer space policy. In fact, the only bit that was even just a little disconcerting is the bit about, quote-unquote, repping cultures not your own. But, personally, I think that that kind of understated comment is the most reasonable way to deal with the current trends for this kind of event.
The Anarchist Reading List, Summer 2019, from Freedom News UK. Freedom News UK doesn't speak for me.
Successful expropriation of arms from police station in Guayama, Puerto Rico, from Abolition Media Worldwide, and an anonymous submission to ANews based on mainstream media reports. Quote, following a series of uprisings that began last weekend in Puerto Rico, police in Guayama woke on Thursday morning to discover that their station had been raided. A total of 30 pistols, 18 rifles, and approximately 4,000 rounds of ammunition had been successfully expropriated. A message threatening Governor Rosello was found on a wall in the storage room from which these arms were taken, unquote. No reason at all to believe that anarchists did this time.
New booklet, The Future is a Scam, from Act for Freedom Now. An announcement of a PDF made from an April 2019 anti-natalist article from France. It does have some solid arguments. Perhaps someone will do a better translation. I think the topic deserves it.
Anarchist History, No End of Beginnings, from The Libertarian Labyrinth by Sean Wilbur. There are some really interesting, educational, evocative posts, not just on ANews, but on internet sites in general, that don't get a response. I noticed this many years ago, 15 or so, and have pondered it in a mild way ever since. Obviously, there is probably not one reason, but this post reminds me of that, and suggests that one reason why these posts go unresponded to is because they are so deep within a person's experience and thought processes, that it's challenging to try to meet them. That, even when all or most of the words and even associations are intelligible, there's enough missing background that part of what is intriguing about them is what is unreachable. In other words, how someone got to this place where they're saying words I understand, but building a road with them that I can't get to. This is frequently true of Sean's posts. Always interesting, but frequently also unwalkable. Usually I blame this on not being a historian, but sometimes I get more creative. Anyway, here again, Sean demonstrates his way around a water metaphor, and a journey one, and reflects on his wanderings in a most enjoyable way. Quote, things really do look different if you try to see the unfolding story of the anarchist idea from the vantage point of the 1830s or early 1840s. From that starting point, there is no question of framing the development of the anarchist tradition in terms of Marx and Marxism, the International, the Paris Commune, anarchist communism, syndicalism, events in Ukraine or Spain nearly a century late, platformism or its alternatives, 1968 or any of the more recent moments. In 1840, it's not even a question, necessarily, of framing things in terms of the eventual emergence of anarchism as an ideology, movement, keyword, etc. All of those events obviously leave their mark. A series of influential figures, active organizations, and key texts will establish important markers along the route, or long routes not taken this time around. But the challenge posed by those who want to insist on a mainstream of anarchist thought and activity is precisely that at least some of those markers mark points of impassibility, divergences more decisive than just the ongoing work of ideological evolution, or simply some real beginning for some more important or authentic anarchist tradition, in the light of which the journey so far has to be understood in some other light, unquote.
Welcome home, Connor Stevens, from Fundraiser. Quote, Connor took non-cooperating plea deals and pled guilty to all charges. The judge applied a terrorism enhancement to their sentences, elongating their sentences as well as subjecting them to harsher prison conditions. Connor served 8 years and 1 month, all to be followed by lifetime supervised release, unquote. Congratulations to him for getting out, and good luck getting back into outside life.
Towards the end of the Panico trial, from Act for Freedom, action against a fascist bookstore results in trial. The prosecutors are asking for a total of 86 years in prison for the various defendants, and the fascists are demanding a lot of money as well. This is an update and a note that the trial will soon be over. Fingers crossed.
Kidnapping and attempted deportation of Divine Umuru, Saturday, July 20th, from Act for Freedom. An anarchist is being deported illegally from Italy. Quote, despite the fact that the comrade had lived in Italy for 20 years and had all the papers necessary for his stay, the judge validated the expulsion measure by appealing to various complaints, including the purpose of terrorism from which Divine had been acquitted years ago. He was then given, at the lawyer's request, an hour to take clothes and a telephone, which was seized from him, and was loaded onto a car headed for Milan Malpensa Airport, where he was held in administrative regime at the offices of the Border Police, pending the execution of the expulsion, enforceable from 6:53 p.m. on Monday, time of the end of the hearing, and to be carried out within the following 48 hours, unquote. This solidarity call also calls for various protests.
Heretics, from Act for Freedom by Gabriel Pombo da Silva, who has been a name in anarchist circles for decades, much of that time as an anarchist political prisoner. Now he's out, although of course still getting fucked with by police. Quote, any priest of every ism hates an anarchist because they can't be controlled. She/he doesn't obey him, he/she doesn't listen to him, and when he/she can, she/he raises their voice to attack the slightest form of power and authority. Sometimes these solitary avengers throw a bomb or plunge a dagger with the intent, always, of sowing chaos into the order of reason, rigorously established as law or supreme truth. At other times, they mingle with discontent with the intent to trigger insurrections. But they use most of their time reading because their best friend and hobby is the knowledge of what was and what is. They do not have illusions or hopes, but convictions. They know that knowledge is their strength and that it gives them self-determination. Unquote.
Urgent. Anarchist political prisoners in Sinochtli in danger of heat stroke. From It's Going Down. Quote, Sinochtli is a revolutionary Chicano anarchist political prisoner, jailhouse lawyer, and member of the Certain Days Collective, who was held in the Texas prison system as a result of disarming a police officer who was threatening his life. He is currently in severe medical danger. As a 67-year-old man who takes several medications for hypertension and also has Hep C, he has serious medical needs and is sensitive to the heat. Staff at the Polunsky unit, where he is currently held, are refusing to give him access to a fan or even to use his own funds to purchase one, even though he has warned them that he is on the verge of heat stroke, unquote. The Certain Days Collective is a calendar educational and fundraising project supporting political prisoners. This call for Sinochtli asks people to contact prison officials so that he doesn't die. Contact info is provided.
Willem Van Spronsen's audio legacy from the hacked Bandcamp page of Van Spronsen. A list of links to his music. They will be kept safe with us at least until our next server crash.
Anarchist Gathering in Berkeley from Occupy Oakland. An old school punk based event out of Gilman Street, may it live forever and host many things all better than this one. Almost entirely music, there seems to be two workshops, one on what we, sick, can learn from other movements, featuring the Black Panthers, of course, and one on mental health. The event costs $12. Is punk dead? Well, is it?
Solidarity with Dinos Gieksoglu from anarchija.info. An update and information about Dinos, arrested while underground in 2017, accused of terrorist organization and mailing letter bombs to EU officials. He says, quote, I want you to be sure, my dear comrades, that the values of struggle and solidarity are infinitely more timeless than any rotten social dictate, than snitching, bootlicking, or submission. So if a fighter asks for your help, you shall not deny. You shall offer it generously by following your wild instincts. Even if the unknown danger of being betrayed in the future lurks, it will be worth the risk for the realization of our ideas. It is worth for the concrete proof that solidarity is not just a nice word empty of content, without ethical grounds and physical substance, neither a non-threatening occasional occupation without perils and revolutionary peaks, but that it is a real arsenal that abolishes in practice the artificial dipoles of legality, illegality, or innocence, guilt, and is equipped with weapons for all those who indeed want to attack the existent, unquote.
Anathema, Volume 5, Issue 4. Many pieces worth reading. My eye was caught in particular by a letter to Anna, one of the Scriptomanent anarchists recently sentenced to 17 years, from a group in Mexico who support her, denounce the lack of attention paid to her, comparatively, and reject anarcho-feminism or feminism in general as something that is subsumed within anarchism. Go team! Many other worthwhile pieces as well, On Water, Defining Anarchy, Willem van Spronsen, etc.
They leaned on each other in ecstasy, and the devil rode a bicycle. From Transmetropolitan Review, an announcement of two zines available online for the first time, with excerpts from both. Pretty.
We Should Be Paying Attention, from Puget Sound Anarchists. A piece on the significance of how the state is dealing with the trial against two people accused of shooting an anti-fascist at a Milos Yiannopoulos talk in January 2017. The point mostly being about anarchists trying to be helpful by assisting an investigation, and how and whether that is colluding with the state, even when in defense of anarchists. But it is also about the possible significance of the trial outcome. This kind of multi-layered article is challenging to keep track for folks, which probably is why no one has commented. Quote, Hamlin has every good intention. Quote, journalist Hamlin has every good intention, and in fact was one of the few journalists who attempted to counter the dominant narrative of the day. But at what cost? What was gained by this collusion between members of the anarchist and anti-fascist communities and a local reporter in an effort to investigate what happened that night? How much of the work done by us to prove the motive or intent of an enemy or to exonerate some from the label of violence in actuality shifted that blame to others? It is unclear how much of the state's investigation into Mark and Elizabeth Hokona was built on the work of citizen journalists or of independent media, but in the end, as a broader tendency, we should move away from our attempts to uncover the truth as we see it, whether in the still frame of a video or a counter lawsuit against the foot soldiers of a broader enemy. Unquote.
Are Wen Long attacks a sign of deepening fractures in Hong Kong society that could lead to anarchy amid extradition bill crisis? From mainstream media, scmp.com. This is just another entry in the mainstream use of anarchy to mean free-for-all, no rules, or perhaps no rules discernible from the outside? Or perhaps a situation that cries out for police and legislators? Anyway, Hong Kong protests against the extradition of defendants to mainland China continue, even in the face of groups of white shirts attacking them. Remember, children, proxy cops in action are not the same as anarchy.
NYPD cops get drenched by buckets of water, from equally nutty but perhaps less mainstream and more conservative news source, the New York Post, which responsible journalists have called a source of evil, comes this second example of the word anarchy in the mouths of unbelievers who are cranky because people threw buckets and water at cops. This is bound to result in some harassment against the neighborhood, which the word anarchy is drumming up, of course, but also probably isn't that different from normal.
Call for solidarity from Mexican anarchist Miguel Peralta, from Anarchist Black Cross Federation, from his support team in Mexico, quote, after a long, tedious, and exhausting trial, Miguel was sentenced on October 26, 2018, to 50 years in prison for two crimes that he did not commit. This sentence was dictated in spite of his legal defense team presenting the necessary evidence to prove that he is not responsible for these crimes and that his case is full of legal irregularities. We know well that this was a politically motivated sentence against Miguel, and that there is no other reason for him to be imprisoned and sentenced. Now more than ever, we need your solidarity. That solidarity could take many forms, from a street action, to a fundraiser, to a letter written in support of Miguel demanding his freedom, to any other expression of solidarity you see fit. Furthermore, we can make a call out for economic solidarity to help cover legal fees as well as transportation to and from Oaxaca over the coming months. Furthermore, as a solidarity group, we are making a call for a week of agitation from July 22nd to 28th to show our rejection of the resolution of Miguel's appeal and our repudiation of the prison institutions, unquote. More, including contact info in the story, of course.
Interview with Anarchist Union of Iran and Afghanistan, from AMW English. From my limited understanding of the situation, this seems like a respectful and appropriate interview with people who are realistic and coherent. Not that realism and coherence are always the best characteristics, but they're frequently the best option when listening to people we don't know. These kinds of interviews are always shallow in some ways, but there's more argument for that being appropriate in this context than in many others. On the future, quote, "Now the left movement and communist movement are facing a crisis. They do not have a strong presence at the international level or in international struggles. They have largely lost their revolutionary and militant characters, and even the parliamentary left is facing a crisis. Even liberals face a crisis. But anarchists do not face this situation, and they have not lost their revolutionary character and are still pragmatic," unquote. Sounds like their anarchists are less liberal-infused than in the U.S. That must be nice.
Communique of Alfredo Caspito from the prison of Ferrara, from Act for Freedom. Here's the complete post. Quote, "Alfredo from the prison of Ferrara asks for this short communique to be circulated, excusing himself for not having done so earlier, but he was completely isolated in the hospital. He sends a hug to everyone. Prison of Ferrara, July 14th, 2019. I give you the tragic comic news that after 5 hours operation, my bloody gallbladder has abandoned us, July 8th, due to the hunger strike. Excuse me, but I still can't answer your many letters decently. But count on my answers. The only positive thing is that I have lost 21 kilograms. Keep on writing to me. Sure that the struggle in solidarity with the comrades proceeds ever more effectively, Alfredo," unquote.
Audio and video. The Final Straw, Sequimec. Struggle Against Pipeline, Perilous Chronicles, Prisoner Resistance. 58 minutes, hosted by Bursts. Episode starts off with a member of Perilous Chronicle, which is, quote, "documenting prisoner resistance since from 2010 till today in the so-called U.S. and Canada," unquote. The rest is an interview with Indigenous activist Kanahu's Freedom. Not a lot of anarchy in this episode beyond saying the word a couple of times, mostly a discussion of, quote, rights, unquote. But I guess it makes Final Straw look progressive?
Anarchy Radio, an hour. John and Carl host. Two calls, both from Alice. Jay-Z has started a new segment where he complains about local Eugene events that don't live up to his expectations. I guess there's something to be said for choosing the fights that will always end with you on top. John reads a column he wrote, which includes the line, quote, "For some, surrender is not an option. Ultimate redemption still beckons, and they will play it out to the end," unquote. May we pray Jay-Z finds that redemption in primo heaven.
Soulcast with Eamon Farrelly on the Radical People podcast. An hour and 38 minutes. An hour and 38 minutes! Soul interviews Eamon of the Radical People podcast, which, quote, "does in-depth interviews about direct action campaigns and the individuals behind them," unquote. A pretty wide-ranging discussion, because it is almost 2 hours long! Topics discussed include lots of activism, direct action, stories of failure, Rojava and the limitations of living in the city. That last part of the discussion involves a lot of Soul and Eamon describing what they are growing at the moment, if you're into that sort of thing. At one point, Eamon suggests that working with Greenpeace is an example of the affinity group model, which seems strange to say the least. Oh my god.
Wind in Our Sails on Repression and the Free Cedar Explosion. An hour and 8 minutes from It's Going Down. Cedar and Canny speak about the Lock Street Riot and the consequences in Hamilton since then, including multiple arrests, an eviction, etc. The host continues his confused tendency, are anarchists a threat or not? But the guests speak a more coherent line, thank goodness. Hamilton anarchists are worth listening to, in general, apparently.
Anarchy Bang, episode 30, Solidarity. 2 hours for the show on July 28th. Quote, "I want to start by stating that I believe solidarity is one of the three foundations of anarchy, or specifically my idea of anarchy. Solidarity, mutual aid, and free association, or disassociation. These three concepts are interconnected. For solidarity to work, for a commitment to build social relations and actions between individuals and communities, there needs to be both mutual aid and free association. Connections of solidarity need all those engaging in the work/struggle to benefit, to share, to build together. It can't be a one-sided relationship where one party is there to save or free the other party. It's not charity. Both parties benefit and thrive from the relationships, connections, and actions. At any time, the relationship or connection may end. It is not guaranteed or set in stone. For solidarity to thrive, it must evolve, grow, and move with changing situations. Solidarity is free and voluntary. Solidarity should build and nurture active power, not reinforce and continue alienated power," unquote. There's more! Join the conversation!
Bad news, July 2019, from the Final Straw radio site. Quote, A Radio Berlin presents anarchist notes on the National Socialist Underground, NSU, trials of neo-Nazis in Germany. The Final Straw radio with Duncan, a prison abolitionist involved in perilous chronicles about the tracking of prisoner resistance they do, and recent hunger strikes in prisons and immigrant detention facilities around the so-called U.S. Finally, audio from comrades from A Radio Vienna in solidarity with prison rebel and organizer Andreas Krebs, who is suffering from repression and medical mistreatment, and a call out by Anarchist Black Cross chapters for an international week of solidarity with anarchist prisoners, August 23rd to the 30th.
The sun, yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? For the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
Topic of the week: ill legibility. In the episodes of Anarchy Bang I've participated in, the concepts of legibility and illegibility have popped up quite often. The version of these ideas I know of comes from anthropologist, sad face, James C. Scott. Quote, the more I examined these efforts at sedentarization, the more I came to see them as a state's attempt to make a society legible, to arrange the population in ways that simplified the classic state functions of taxation, conscription, and prevention of rebellion. Having begun to think in these terms, I begin to see legibility as a central problem in statecraft. The pre-modern state was, in many crucial respects, particularly blind. It knew precious little about its subjects. It lacked anything like a detailed map of its terrain and its people. Unquote. The name on everyone's lips this past week has been Willem van Sponsen, and for good reason. They took a stand, put their body on the line, and didn't come out the other side alive. Yet looking past whether this particular or generally any action is good/bad, ineffective/ineffective, it ends up being supremely legible to radicals and institutions alike in terms of the reason for targeting ICE and the image of radicality the attack leaves behind. My question to the Anon Horde is, what would less legible efforts look like in the anarchist space? In what ways can we obfuscate our goals and carry out actions that defy a quotidian image of rebellion? Do you see any actions or projects that take anarchy beyond reacting to the big bad and instead move the conversation so far outside the state's frame of reasonable demands that they successfully avoid the Gorgon's gaze? Hello, Aragorn.
Hello, Ariel. So this is a hard one. So it's easy. The easy answer is don't explain yourself. The thing about WVS is that they not only wrote a manifesto, they wrote an album sort of dedicated to the end of their own life. And that's the very definition of explaining what you're doing. You know, if we talk like this, talking about James Heath Scott and the concept of legibility, sort of honors the statecraft aspect of it. But I guess for me, when I think about this question of legibility or illegibility, I think about not just who my audience is, but I guess that's actually an appropriate way to think about this. The fact is that WVS had an audience. He had a group of people who he wanted to communicate these ideas to at the end of his life. And another model of what it would look like or what it means to be radical or like one of the failures, arguably, of anarchism over the past decade was we spent too much time being legible. And I'm not sure that sort of is an issue of statecraft, but obviously it is on some level. It's like, we are anarchists. We are against society for 1, 2, and 3 reasons. And that's why we did, action A, B, and C. that's clearly legible. That's how you build a case. That's one type of enclosure of anarchist activity. And perhaps it's the one that sort of has lost popularity, which is why there's so many fewer people doing those type of activities. You know, one of the things I think that I have found is when people sign off from Facebook, they disappear. You know, in other words, I do use Facebook as social media. I use it to communicate with other anarchists who I don't necessarily know that well. And when someone logs off and never logs back on, that's the way you become illegible in the modern context. You disappear from social media. You stop telling the world, you know, what you're up to. And you bring your circle back to something smaller, something face to face, something that looks like the size of human beings rather than the size of manifestos. What are your thoughts?
This is complicated for me. I mean, the legibility part isn't so complicated. The WVS action is complicated. Mm-hmm. Part of me is impressed and proud and wants to applaud him. And part of me is concerned. Because when these things start to come to a head, historically, they always come for the propagandists. And there is no anarchist headquarters that the FBI can go knock on the door of. We are elusive and scattered, and except that usually the publishers are pretty easy to find, and that's a pretty easy hit.
I do want to mention that one of the first press releases after this happened, I even think mm-hmm. it was written like Saturday night, uh-huh. so the night he was killed, were by people who identified with him and claimed him as their own, mm-hmm. specifically calling themselves Olympia anarchists. So
interesting.
If the doors are going to get knocked on by the logic,
there's somewhere more specific for them to go. And actually, yeah. someone else made the argument that because he did this around an issue that had so much support, had publicly
liberal support,
yeah. right, has so much liberal support, has been so fully embraced, is on some level so mainstream
yeah.
that there's a way to look at it that it's just kind of that there's this perception that it just pulls anarchist politics closer to the mainstream,
yeah.
which by doing that makes us more legible and less dangerous. And so perhaps it's actually a good thing.
Well, in that context, legibility, I think, is directly related to how comprehensible you are to the state.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure. Like, for me, that feels like, why don't you go on and I'll come back to that.
But that's not... That's only part of it. There are questions that are asked. And yeah, I guess really this part isn't difficult. It's just not been anarchist politics for so long that I haven't really thought about things in these terms. Less legible efforts look like in the anarchist space. Because it's so easy for the state to feel like it has a bead on you through phones and social media and just the general surveillance in our lives. It seems like not having a smartphone and getting off of social media, just like you said, is probably a pretty quick fix to most of that, because then it at least means in the first two or three passes, you're not going to pop up.
Right.
You're going to be in the smaller beep of the sonar and not the big loud crash sure. of the sonar, which is probably useful. And while I like I love the spirit of the manifesto.
Yeah.
It's that's complicated. That's hard. But to play devil's advocate, if he had done this and never said a word about it, there still would have been a reason why it would have just been created by other people, by the media, by other politicos, by liberals, by other anarchists. So does it matter that those reasons aren't his and may not be correct? I'm not sure. But understanding and definition is going to be brought to the act, regardless of whether or not he brings it himself. Yeah, that's what I have there. So I'm not, part of me thinks it matters, and part of me thinks maybe it doesn't actually matter at all.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, it does appear that the state does use patsies.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of, we mentioned this in one of the other podcasts that the Cleveland Four were an example of patsies that came out of the Occupy movement.
Right.
Well, one of them, Connor, is actually getting out of prison like this week.
Mm-hmm.
So a nod to Connor and congratulations of getting out. But the point being that they're not looking for the best of or the best examples of or the experts.
No.
They're looking for someone who can get wrapped up in this, and it's clear to me that there's a lot of people who are willing to do that for free. But it doesn't necessarily have to, like they're not coming to Berkeley.
Well, no. I mean, I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, I understand. Your point. I understand your point. Yes.
And for me, you know, the main thing to say about WVS Wilhelm is that he did this incredible, noble, courageous, and maybe stupid act.
Insane. Totally insane.
And let that be his legacy, full stop.
Yeah.
In other words, all the critiques that have been made, all the rest of the sort of critique, I don't think it's appropriate to critique someone who's dead.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, actually, my housemates and I were just talking about, he's one example of a couple that we've mentioned this week that did these ridiculous things that you just want to go, fuck yeah, and putting a little shrine in the house. Sure. And putting pictures up so that, you know, when you need that moment of, wait, why the fuck am I here? You can look and go, oh, right, yeah, that's why I'm fucking here. And yes, there is, that should be the beginning and the end of it, him.
There's a passage to the book, the SI Anthology, that I refer to fairly frequently, which is why this question of legibility as defined by James C. Scott relating to the state, for me, feels like a very partial definition. Because nowadays, mostly, we're not worried about whether or not the state gets us and the cops are after us, but whether or not what it is that we're doing is being co-opted by,
right,
for lack of better language, capital. And so as far as I'm concerned, this question of legibility has much more to do with whether or not we have become reified or co-opted,
okay,
than it does with the state and statecraft. So this passage that's the introduction to the SI Anthology basically refers to how challenging many people refer to the words and the language that the Situationist International use to describe their critique and their project.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of what it is that they did, they were attempting to be illegible. And one of our questions 50 years later, to what extent were they successful, not successful, and to what extent, when we think about the future projects that we're doing, are we sort of participating or not participating in our own co-optation, and at what level do we stop, how do we stop, and what does sort of weaponizing any of this look like?
Right.
I'm not sure that Wilhelm has been co-opted yet, but right now, you know, the flood of controversy that sort of is the modern media landscape does seem to have flooded the possibility to be legible. In other words, no one cares what it is that you're doing when the federal government is in constant turmoil, you know, because of the Mueller investigation or because of Trump's, you know, ridiculous
thing he said today.
Yeah. And And so there is a way in which whatever it is that's happening in the mainstream or in the regular world today has sort of made a lot of what it is that we would do in terms of disruptions. Maybe not moot, but a small part of a very big game.
Yes, I agree. It's hard to, I mean, well, we have evidence of what you have to do to compete on this stage to get the spotlight turned to you.
Yeah.
I mean, for anybody to fucking notice at all.
I mean, I really thought Fox News was going to spend a week on how bad the anarchists are, and they haven't.
Yeah. And I guess I find that surprising, but perhaps because making the anarchists the subject doesn't parlay into political fodder.
But it like, does.
Well, I mean,
most of the time it does.
Well, no, I mean explicitly in terms of elections and two-party politics, because sure. Because I think the anarchists sit too far outside of that, and so like you know, there's no, you know, who are they going to point to? AOC and say we're her, you know,
sure,
us and her and it's her fault. Like I don't think that translates well.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
They haven't cared enough to try to make that translation.
Sure,
and that's the point, right?
Yeah,
now.
No, that's the point.
I really
thought, no, I agree.
I thought it was going to immediately become weaponized in the way that you feared, but
yeah.
But I think that maybe you know, a year and a half before the election cycle, that's enough time. I mean, it seems like a huge amount of cover, but yeah, it does seem like the narrative in mainstream news right now is Donald Trump winning the election against the four people who aren't running. That's the news.
Well, then, yay for the news.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, this podcast was sound edited by Greg. What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. No editorial this week. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Eligibility. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the IRC chat room linked on ANews and or anarchy101.org. Fuck!